I use this verse or these verses as a basis for this teaching because it reveals so much. The 23rd Psalm is so revered by Christians and non-Christians around the world. But do we really understand the import of this passage of Scripture? Do we really understand what it means? Well, notice Psalm 23 again, and I'll read today from the New Living Translation of the 23rd Psalm. Notice what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So here we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ leading the church. There again, that word want that's found in the King James Version of the Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That Hebrew word koser literally means I shall not want, I shall not lack, I shall not fail. So that's why the New Living Translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. Listen to me, here's something you need to remember. If you learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, if you learn to follow the shepherd, you will have all you need. You will have no lack if you'll learn to follow the shepherd. Now, obviously we need to know how to follow. So how does the shepherd lead? 2 weeks ago we began and shared that the primary way that the shepherd leads his sheep, even today, is by his word. The psalmist said, Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the primary way that He leads us today is by His word. And so if we're going to follow Him, we've got to spend time in the book. Amen? Now, you can get the book many different ways. I've got my Rhema Study Bible that I've had for years. This is my third Rhema Study Bible. The first one, I just completely wore the thing out. The second one started to fall apart, so I'm on number three now. But you can get the Word on your smartphone. You can get the Word on your Kindle. You can get the Word on your iPad. We have so many ways to get information today, there's really no excuse. If you live in the United States of America and you can read, you have no excuse. Are you with me? If you cannot read, you can get it in an audio version. So unless you're deaf and blind and can't read, you have no excuse. There are people all around the world who would give a year's worth of income if they could have a Bible. And we have Bibles sitting all over the house. Amen. And what you have sitting in the house or on your mantelpiece or, you know, on the dashboard of your car is really not important. But it's what you have in your heart. So if we're going to follow the shepherd, we've got to live by the book. And that's one thing that's distinctive about Christians. If you really love Jesus, you live by the book. Amen? And we're going to see that in a little fashion. Last week, we also talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit leads us from within. The primary way He leads us is through the Word. But another primary way that He leads us is by the Spirit within. We looked at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, that says, The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That word lamp is the same Hebrew word that's translated lamp in Psalm 119. It's the Hebrew word near. So that simply tells us that God enlightens us by His word. He also enlightens us in our spirit. Now, if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 8 again. Romans chapter 8. And this is a very familiar passage to many of us, but we're going to spend some time here today because this is so important. Once you learn this, many things in your life will become settled and established. And this is key to living a successful Christian life. The Lord is our shepherd. We need to follow Him. And if you do, there are blessings that wait for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. All you have to do is learn to follow Him. Now, Romans chapter 8, notice this verse, verse 14. Says this, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." All who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Now, how does the Spirit of God lead us? Does He fly through the sky with a banner that says, "Follow me, I'm over here"? That's the way some people think that He leads. You know, does He write on the wall? Does He give you a dream in the middle of the night? Well, there are times He does things like that, but those times are rare. Back up in your Bibles in Romans and look at verse, let's go to verse 12. Well, let's back up further than that. Let's go to verse 10. Let's go to verse 9. Romans 8, 9. "But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit." Notice this, if you have the Spirit of God living where? In you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living where? In them, do not belong to Him at all. And if Christ lives where? Within you. Even through your body will die. Though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives where? In you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Now, listen. If the Spirit of God lives in us and God leads His children by His Spirit, it would stand to reason He's going to lead us from the inside out, not from the outside in. God will lead you from the inside out, not from the outside in. And then it goes on to say that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, what does it mean to bear witness? It simply means an inward knowing. You know on the inside. See, when I came to Jesus when I was 12 years old, something happened on the inside of me. I didn't all of a sudden pick up a banner and say, "Well, I'm a Christian now just because somebody said I was." No, I had that witness on the inside. Something changed in my spirit. My spirit was recreated. I became a new person in Christ. And the Lord began to lead me from the inside out. He does the same thing with you. So they that are led by the Spirit of God, and where does He live? In us. We are the children of God. So the primary way that the Lord leads His sheep today, number one, is through the Word. Number two, by His Spirit living within. And if we would learn to follow that inward witness, we would avoid a whole lot of trouble in life. If we would learn to follow that inward knowing, we would live in a place of peace and blessing. We have to learn how to trust the Spirit within. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And let me show you how important this is and how it works. Galatians chapter 5. Now, the great thing about this is that human nature has not changed in thousands of years. Thousands of years. We're people are people. People have always been people, will always be people. And so don't think that just because you live in 2013 that you're facing things that nobody's ever faced before. Oh, please. What you're dealing with is an old problem. But the great thing is the solution to that old problem has worked for thousands of years. And the same thing that worked back then still works today. It's proven, it's tried, it's sure. And so, as I said, we live by the book. What does God's Word say? People think, well, you know, the Bible's an old book, it was written a long time ago, really doesn't apply to us anymore. Oh, how wrong you are. Are you with me? People face the same issues they faced thousands of years ago. And so that one book with 66 individual books written by 39 different authors over a period of 1,500 years is still the standard for life today. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. God's Word is His creative power. Now, here's the great thing. God's Word is the product, listen to me carefully, God's Word is the product of the Holy Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God's Word is the product of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how we got the Scripture. Amen. And so the Spirit of God is moving through us by His Spirit on the inside, and He's also moving as we spend time in the written Word. Amen. God's Word is the product of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God will never lead you or guide you to do anything that's contrary to what the Scripture has said. Now, there's some people that will come along, and this is important, you need to know this, and they'll have a new revelation. Well, you know, this is 2013. This is the way God does things now. Oh, really? I remember once being in a church, and there was some crazy stuff going on. And there were some things that were being taught that just weren't scriptural. And so I asked a leader one time, I said, you know, that lesson that you taught got everybody all emotional, had people crying all over the place. I was crying too. I wasn't crying because I was caught up in the Spirit. I was crying because I knew these people were silly enough to believe that mess. I said, can you show me where you got that from in the Bible? He said, well, come on over sometime. We'll talk about it. I said, I'd kind of like to know now. I said, you know, see, back then I didn't have much tact. I was not a person who rocked the boat. I would sink it. Okay. I would blow it up and sink it. I didn't have any sense. But this person finally admitted to me, well, it's not in the Bible, but I've seen it happen. I said, thank you very much. I have my answer. And now I know I don't have to believe any of that stuff you just taught because it's not scriptural. It's not in the Bible. Are you with me? It may be your new revelation, but it's not based in the Scripture, so I can leave it aside. All right? See, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Spirit will lead you either by the Word or He'll lead you in your spirit. Now, watch this. Galatians chapter 5. Notice verse 16. That's where we're going to start. Talking about being led by the shepherd, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit guides us, or gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So these two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. Notice verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ooh, ouch. Ouch. Now, if we would follow the Spirit, and He lives inside us, we would never participate in some of these things. Oh, but Pastor Bill, I'm just following my desires. That's your problem. Because your body's not redeemed yet. And we have to understand that when you come to Jesus, there's a radical transformation on the inside of you. Your spirit's reborn. But you have the same old body you had before. And that body's nothing more than the house you live in, a machine that's been trained to desire certain things. Now, some desires God put in you. Did you know, I'm going to shock some of you this morning, but just smile at me. Did you know sex was God's idea? That's God's idea. He put that desire in you. Your responsibility is to control that thing. To express that desire according to the Word, according to the Holy Spirit. Follow the shepherd. Are you with me? Because if you just do what your body wants, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. See, but if you follow the Spirit, you never would do anything like that. Now, I didn't say you didn't have the desire. It's up to you to control it. That's what it means to live by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, lust is an old word. You know what lust is, basically? Pressure. Pressure. You ever have anybody put pressure on you? You ever have your body put pressure on you? You know? That's what lust is. Pressure that's from the flesh. Sometimes the devil put pressure on you. You know? You ever have a crazy thought? Don't raise your hand. Just smile. I've had them. We all have them. You ever have a crazy thought? You know that didn't come from God. No doubt about it. There have been times that people have said things to me and I heard words. I heard words in my head. One shot, you can take them out. Really? One shot, you can take him out. I heard that. I heard those one time. I'm telling you. Guy called me dummy. And I looked at him, short little fellow, standing across the counter. And I heard these words, one shot, you can take him out. And I wanted to. Had the desire to. The guy insulted me in front of all these people. And every one of those people standing behind me turned around to see what I was going to do. Guy said, it's on sale for $2.99, dummy. And everybody, guys were back here doing it, and they all stopped, turned around, said, I got to see this. And I'm looking at this fella. I heard the words, one shot, you can take him out. The adrenaline was pumping. I probably clenched my fist a couple times. But you know what? Something on the inside of me said, no, that's not the way we do it. In our modern vernacular, we'd say, that's not the way we roll. The Bible says, walk in love. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Love your enemies. And so I had to readjust for a little bit, take a pause, and then I apologized to him. I'm sorry, let me straighten that out for you. And all these guys are watching me. They wanted to see a punch thrown. Didn't happen. Are you with me? Why? I'm led by the Spirit. He lives in me. He lives in me. Now, there are times we don't listen. I understand that. I had a fella call me. We used to network together when I was in Bible college, all of us who worked for the same company in convenience stores, and had one of my friends call me, and it was about 2:30 in the morning, and he's crying. His name is John. He had just gotten out of the Navy. I don't know if he was a Navy SEAL, but he did something in combat. But he was a big, strapping, tough guy. Called me up on the phone crying. Said, Bill, pray for me. I said, sure, John. What's the matter? He said, man, I knocked a guy out. I said, what? He said, I hit him. I said, what do you mean? He said, he came in and put his hands on me and I decked him. I said, well, where is he? He said, he's laying on the floor right there. I said, I wanted to laugh. I said, I'll pray with you, John. God will forgive you. I said, but make sure he's okay, man. Pick him. He said, I'm sorry, man. I knew I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it. That's not the way a Christian's supposed to live. But he put his hands on me. I just reacted. I just hit him. He should have known better to put his hands on that boy. That boy laid him out. And I said, John, I said, I'm going to pray with you. Come on, let's pray. We prayed. I said, all right, now hang up the phone and make sure he's okay. Get him up out the floor. You know? So sometimes we miss it. Amen? God will forgive you. But you need to learn how to be led by the shepherd. Follow the shepherd. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. I want to finish this and we'll talk about it for a little bit. Notice, the Holy Spirit produces, verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of our sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Notice, every part of our lives. Sometimes we want to follow the shepherd in some parts of our life. He wants to lead all of you. Are you with me? He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So the shepherd leads us by the Spirit within. And the Spirit within will always have a conflict with the nature of your body, your flesh. And so what we have to learn to do is be led by the Spirit within, not our flesh. You know your body has a voice. And sometimes it speaks very loud. You have to be able to distinguish the voice of the Spirit from your flesh. Now, if you use the book as a guide, it's very easy to do. Are you with me? Amen. But there are times when the Bible doesn't specifically address a situation or a decision you have to make. That's when you have to rely on the Spirit within. I often ask people, notice the Psalm says in Psalm 23 that He leads me beside still waters or peaceful waters. I'll often ask people, if the Bible doesn't give us any clear direction, do you have peace about it? Are you with me? Amen. Do you have peace about it? Now, if the Bible addresses that issue, that settles it. Well, the Bible says, don't do this. I need to pray about that. No, you just need to do it.
Right.
You don't have to pray about it. God's not going to change His mind. Are you with me? Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And let me show you something. The shepherd leads us, number one, by the word. He leads us, number two, by the inward witness, by that inward knowing. There are times the Spirit of God will not only give you an inward knowing, but He will speak to you. There have been times He's spoken to me and I heard His voice. If you'd been in the same room, I don't think you'd have heard it. But I did, and I heard it on the inside. There have been times, I use the example of that intersection where I almost got hit by a guy who blew the red light, that I heard His voice loudly. It saved my life. But most of the time, He speaks to us, just like He did to Elijah in the Old Testament, in that still, small voice. And He'll do that many times when you're contending with your flesh and you want to slap somebody or you want to do the wrong thing or you're attracted to something you shouldn't be attracted to. And that still small voice will say, no, don't go there. No, don't do that. You know that ain't right. You with me? We've all been there. All we have to do is make a decision to listen or not listen. But if you want to be blessed, you listen. You pay attention. You do what He said to do. Amen? Now, here's something you need to understand. For some of us, we have not listened, and when we're confronted with that choice again, many times the enemy will speak to you and say, well, you've missed it before, you may as well go ahead. Or you've missed it so much, you may as well go ahead. You know, that's his choice weapon, words. You know, the weapons of choice that Satan has at his disposal are not bullets, guns, and bombs, but they're words, ideas, thoughts, and suggestions. That's the same thing he did with Adam, same thing he did with Eve, same thing he did with Jesus. What makes you think you're so special? He'll do the same thing with you. And so he's trying to get you to make a choice that's not good for you. Are you with me? And so even if you have missed it in the past, don't allow him to bring condemnation upon you because of what happened in the past. Yeah, that was past, but I don't do that anymore. Are you with me? Yeah, I don't live that way anymore. I don't think that way anymore. See, he is using the same tricks that he's used on mankind for thousands of years. He's got nothing new. It's all the same stuff. Really, you think about it, it's the same stuff. Remember we looked at that list of things that were included in the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5? One of them is sorcery. Another is witchcraft. We've often thought that that stuff was some kind of supernatural darkness. No, it's the work of the flesh. That's all it is. You know what the Greek word is for sorcery? Pharmakia. It's the root word from which we get the word pharmacy. And you know what it has to do with? Drugs. Well, I thought drugs were a new invention. No, they've been around since mankind. And a lot of the ancient worship in ancient cities involved music, drugs, and sex. You thought that was new. No. It's as old as the Bible. It's old, man. It may take on a different form. It's the same old stuff. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." That doesn't mean that you segregate yourself from people. It simply means that you live your life with limits and boundaries and you exclude some things. Why? Because you're being led by the Spirit. And a lot of these men used to worship at the temple of Aphrodite, where there were 1,000 temple priestesses. And the way they would worship is they would get high and they'd have sex with the temple priestesses. And you thought that was new stuff. Ha ha ha. It's as old as the Bible. And that's why Paul's writing to them and says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing." That word unclean, akathartos, which means morally lewd. Don't touch it. And I will give you, this is my paraphrase for the last part of that verse, I will give you special favor. Amen? I will give you special favor. But don't live the way you used to live. Follow the Spirit. Amen? Separate yourself from that stuff. So, if you learn to follow the Spirit from within, it will guide you through life to the degree that you will avoid the works of the flesh, or as the New Living Translation calls it, the sinful nature. I like works of the flesh a little bit better, because your nature now is Christ. He lives in you. What we have to learn to do is control the house that we live in. Amen? And here's something you need to know. If you learn to do it, the longer you do it, the easier it gets. The longer you do it, the easier it gets. You with me? The longer you do it, the easier it gets. Now, there's another way that the Holy Spirit leads us from within, and we'll find it in Colossians chapter 3. Let me catch up with you. Colossians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 15. Here we go, Colossians 3:15. Notice what it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful." Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now that's kind of a different kind of expression. What that word literally means, rule, is to be the umpire. Let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart or in your spirit. Now, how does that work? How many of you guys are familiar with sports? You ever play a sport in school? Anybody? Let me see your hand if you ever played a sport in school. Listen, every sport that you played had rules, right? And every sport you participated in probably had a referee. Somebody who knew the rules and who would correct you, penalize you, if you broke the rules. Every sport has rules. And so when this scripture says, let the peace of God be the umpire, it paints a picture of somebody who lives life, and if they happen to, along the path of life, break the rules, then the umpire is going to blow a whistle, throw a flag, flip a card. He's going to let you know you broke the rule. Now, the Holy Spirit does the same thing in our lives. When we break God's rules, we know on the inside. You have that knowing on the inside. You know you missed it. Amen? Condemnation comes. Doesn't come from the Holy Ghost. Comes from your own spirit. Well, the Holy Ghost lives in your spirit. So you don't have to call me and ask me, Pastor Bill, did I miss it? Yeah, you missed it. That's why you're calling me. Because you know on the inside that peace of God left you. And the Bible may not specifically address that thing, but you have the Spirit of God living in you. And so that's how He leads and guides. And so many times I've had people ask me, you know, Pastor Bill, you know, is it all right to get involved in this? And you know, we look at the Bible. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. I had a guy one time ask me years ago. He said, you know, I'm taking a square dancing class. Is that okay? Is that biblical? Well, you won't find square dancing in the Bible. There's a lot of dancing described in the Bible, but that ain't one of them. All right? And I said, well, you're going to ask yourself two questions. Is it going to enhance your relationship with Christ? Or is it going to take away from it? But here's the most important question. Do you have the peace of God in it, in your heart? If you don't have the peace of God about it, then maybe you shouldn't do it. Amen? I remember years ago I joined a bowling league. Nothing wrong with bowling. Bowling is fun. And so one of my cousins got me involved in this league, only I didn't know it was 40 weeks long. That's a long bowling season, number one. Number two, they bowled on Saturdays. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. But I got involved in the league, and I bowled for a whole year. And, you know, and the challenge was something that I really enjoyed, to get my watch my score go up and to win. You know, I'm a competitive-type person. I like winning. The only thing I didn't like was coming home and my clothes, my sweaters would smell like smoke, you know. And then they'd have these big things at the end and everybody wanted to get drunk. And I'm like, no, that ain't me. And there were a lot of Christians in there and we didn't drink. But I didn't like that, you know, smelling like cigarettes. Now listen, it's not as, Pastor Bill, listen, you'll like this one. Is it a sin to smoke cigarettes? Will you go to hell for smoking cigarettes? No, you won't go to hell for smoking cigarettes. You'll just smell like you've been there. Come on, you heard that one before, haven't you? You just smell like you've been there. You know, the things tell you right on the side of the package, this stuff will kill you. Come on, use wisdom. I grew up in a house with two smokers. My mother and father both smoked 2 and 3 packs a day when I was little. Unfiltered stuff, Camels and Pall Malls, you know. And my mother got double pneumonia when we lived in Florida. And the doctor said, Mrs. Young, if I were you, I'd quit smoking. She quit that day. Quit that day, never touched another one. Lived to 80, 81, 82 years old. My father, on the other hand, was hooked. And that's eventually what led to his demise at 72. Because he couldn't quit smoking. I'm not going to let anything rule my life. You with me? Including a little piece of paper with tobacco in it? I don't think so. Amen? I'm not going to let my flesh control me in any area, especially that one. But we need to learn how to do that. Now, the peace of God in your heart. So this person came to me and says, you know, does the Bible say anything about square dancing? I said, well, you've got to ask yourself two questions. Is it going to enhance your relationship with Christ, number one? Number two, do you have the peace of God about it in your heart? If you don't have peace about it, maybe you ought to leave it alone. So, I got in this bowling league, and I bowled in that league for 2 years. And finally, I got to the point where I didn't have the peace of God about it anymore. You know, my score was coming up. I was bowling well. And so one day, I just decided, well, I'm done. That's it. No more bowling for me. Do I still bowl once in a while? Yeah, I go bowling about once every 3 years. You know, why? I don't have time. I don't have time. You know, I could spend Saturdays at the lane bowling, but what you get in here wouldn't be very good. Amen? I'd rather do my job in here. I think I have my priorities right. I love golf. It's a great game. I even took lessons. I love being out on the golf course. Do you still play? Yeah, about once every 3 years. I'll go out and play. I don't have time. I got too many other things to do. And so you have to look at priorities. Listen, if you learn to follow the Spirit in life, He will lead you to that place where He wants you to be. His purpose, His plan for your life. He'll lead you right there. If you don't follow Him, you may get distracted, sidetracked, get off a little bit. You may still end up at the same place. You may end up there a little late. Are you with me? But I guarantee you, you won't end up there with all the blessing that He intends for you to have. He has your best interest at heart. Amen. And if we'll learn to follow Him, the Spirit of God within, we can end up at that place and say just like the psalmist did, "The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need a thing." Amen? I don't need a thing. Why? Because I followed Him. I followed Him. That's where I want to be. Amen? I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need a thing. Amen? Now, there are some other ways that the Lord leads us, and we'll talk about those next week. And some of those are pretty spectacular. We're going to talk about prophecy. We're going to talk about visions. We're going to talk about dreams. The Lord does use those from time to time, and they are rare, to lead us and guide us. But the primary way He leads us is by the book and by the Spirit of God who lives on the inside. Amen? I remember many, many years ago, I had a woman come to me and prophesy that I was going to be a teacher in their Bible school. And she told me what classes I was going to teach. She had the curriculum all laid out. And I thought that was odd because the Lord had told me to do something else. I knew on the inside of me what I was supposed to do. I heard Him speak to me about where I was supposed to go. But now she's prophesying something different to me. And she even had nerve enough to say to me, "Did you notice how I didn't ask you if you wanted to do this?" And I thought that was kind of bold. And so I said, "Yeah, I kind of picked up on that." She said, "The Lord showed it to me." I said, "Well, praise the Lord, you know." Do you know that everybody says the Lord said such and such ain't heard squat from the Lord? Everybody that says the Lord told me to tell you hadn't heard from heaven. How do you know the difference, Pastor Young? Come back next week. I'll tell you how to know the difference. Amen? Amen? Now, that does not mean we throw the baby out with the bathwater. There have been people who said, "This is what the Lord is saying about you and what you're supposed to do," and it was right on. How do you know the difference? That's what I'll share with you next week. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't He? Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, men's fellowship, Saturday, 7:30. Cracker Barrel, be there or be square. Would you stand with me, please?